reading for the Word of God, we turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians and read chapter 1. The Epistle of Paul to the Colossians and chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister. Excuse me. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The Lord bless unto us the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. Now may the Lord help us each in prayer. O most holy and ever blessed Lord God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the God and Father of thy people, all that the Holy Spirit may breathe into our hearts, that spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. O Lord, we want our sentence from thy blessed lips. O Lord, put every question out of question regarding our soul salvation. Lord, it's not about what men think or what we think ourselves, but it's, Lord, that which thou knowest. And if we are thy people, thou hast known from all eternity, for it was thine eternal purpose, dear Lord, to bless thy people through thy own eternal Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. And dear Lord, oh, we pray that we might know the power and the efficacy in the application of that precious blood of sprinkling to our hearts and our consciences. And dear Lord, that we may be assured of whom we have been taught, and dear Lord, know that grace, all that precious, unmerited favour we there to show toward thy children. O Lord, we feel to be unworthy of thee, least of thy notice, sinners, Lord, of thee, deepest dye in our nature. And dear Lord, some of us feel, my gracious experience can sing some of the hymns that we do sing. Yea, preserved in Jesus when My feet made haste to hell, and there I should have gone, but thou didst all things well. Thy love was great, thine mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Yea, a monument of grace, a sinner bought my blood, the streams of thy trace up to the fountain God, and in his wondrous mercy say eternal thoughts of love to me. Lord, we know it's not of works, lest any man should boast, and yet created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath ordained that we should walk in them. And dear Lord, oh, we do pray that in thy mercy thou come over the mountains of our sin and unworthiness and felt poverty and inability, and pour us out a blessing this night as we meet here around thy most holy word, a little company of sinners, dear Lord, and yet, dear Lord, we trust at least that all those gathered who are no longer dead in sin, but have been quickened by thy Spirit, be called from death to life, dear Lord, and have those evidences of that life given in the heart. Lord, we pray that in thy mercy, oh, that thou wilt so send forth thy word into the heart of everyone gathered even this night, and dear Lord, that each one might know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. Thou said, this is life eternal, and thus, Lord, what we would desire for each and every one. We pray for the absent ones, Lord, that would have been here, but cannot, maybe by reason of affliction or other lawful cause, and one we have met even this day in the home at Arpendon, who was recently moved in there. O Lord God, we do pray for her, for Mrs. Harrison. Bless her, Lord, and be with her, Lord, and grant her that she might find rest in thee, and that she might find, dear Lord, in those associations with thy people in that place, that she might find, dear Lord, oh, even that sweet rest in thee. Dear Lord, we pray that in thy mercy thou wilt look upon each and every one of us, Lord. We know not what an hour may bring forth in our lives. And dear Lord, as we get older, we trust we realize more and more that with us the time indeed is short. Lord, yea, with the youngest here, the time is short, for what is our life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little moment and then vanisheth away. O Lord, we spend our lives as a tale that is told. Lord, all that there might be therein written, all those blessed things wherein thou hast said, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Lord, bless us, we pray. And Lord, we have sung in our opening hymn, and my soul lies cleaving to the dust. Lord, how often it is like that. But we do thank thee, Lord, it's not always like that. Oh, there are those times when thou dost lift us up. Oh, thou dost send something precious and sweet into our hearts. Oh, thou dost indeed restore us again, Lord, when we feel to have fallen away. O Lord, thou dost turn our minds, as it were, from ourselves, and assert himself to Jesus' lead, and for an innocent to intercede. But Lord, we know that thou said that in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so, Lord, we pray that we might be overcomers too, yea, through the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, more than conquerors, through him that loved us. And, dear Lord, that we may indeed fight that good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Oh, the dear poet, he says, fight the good fight with all thy might, for Christ is thy strength and Christ thy might. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Lord, oh, that we may know the sweetness of it, and that we may sing, dear Lord, those songs of victory from time to time. Oh, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Lord in the midst of thee. Lord, we thank thee for every mercy and favour which is bestowed upon us, but Lord, we meet tonight particularly to think of thee sending forth of thy word into this dark world. We thank thee, Lord, for those many years. We believe 1831 it commenced to, in the case of the TBS, the sending forth of thy word. And dear Lord, that work has greatly increased over the years. And we thank thee, Lord, that we still have that desire, Lord, to send forth thy word in all its power and blessedness, and Lord, send it forth, Lord, in that version which we love. Oh, Lord, we believe we have thy word. Many believe they have not thy word. But, Lord, we believe it is thy word. We have it here in our possession. And some of us, Lord, we have it in our hearts as life and power. Oh Lord, it only wants one word dropped into our hearts by thy blessed lips, by the Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, how we rise above all our fears. Yea, it makes us bold. And we prove in that way that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, thy voice is a powerful voice. Thy voice is full of majesty. And when thou dost send thy word forth in all, then we effectually work in the hearts of thy people, Lord. Oh, it is a majestic word. It is a powerful word. And dear Lord, we read in that word that thy people should be willing in the day of thy power. For thou said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Dear Lord, are they a stranger, will they not follow? They know not the voice of strangers. Dear Lord, thy voice indeed is known by thy people. Or maybe there is one praying now, as we find that prayer in the Canticles, O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions, hearken unto thy voice, cause me to hear it. Or speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, we pray that in thy mercy thou send forth thy word with almighty power. Not in word only, but in power and in much assurance, the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Lord, that it may effectually work in the hearts of those that receive it. Lord, thou knowest who thy people are from all eternity. And Lord, thou said they shall come. Every one of them. Yes, as one said, everyone that is godly shall pray unto this, for everyone that shall godly shall pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Dear Lord, we thank thee for the power of thy word and the power of thy voice. We pray, Lord, that thou, in thy mercy, wilt so send it forth into those dark places of the earth. Or then it say this gospel will be first be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And dear Lord, it is being preached around the world. Lord, we have it in that sense in the 19th Psalm. Dear Lord, it's even thy creation speaks. It proclaims thy greatness and thy power. Dear Lord, everyone hears it in his own language. Oh Lord, it needs no interpretation in that sense regarding language. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that thy power is known by the things that are made. And dear Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and mercy to thy people, that they believe thy word. Oh Lord, they sometimes cannot fully understand it. But Lord, thou hast given them that desire to know, to seek, Lord, realizing God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Lord, we pray that thou will bless thy servants, present and absent, in the preaching of the gospel, that they may each one preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And dear Lord, all we know that thou didst say unto thy servant, even Jeremiah, that if thou dost separate the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. Lord, what a separating word it is. And dear Lord, all we thank thee that thy word judges us. Lord, it sometimes condemns us and makes us pray, convinces us of our sin, of our shortcomings, of our backslidings, of our unbelief. And dear Lord, when it is applied with almighty power and we fall under it and receive it, Lord, as a rebuke from thee may be, we thank thee, Lord, that this is the way thou dost deal with thy people. Thou dost chasten them betimes. And dear Lord, although thou lettest those go on unto destruction, yet not thy people. Yea, one must go into the belly of the fish, and there to learn more clearly, when all thy waves and thy billows went over him, to look again toward thy holy temple, and to come out with that positive statement, salvation is of the Lord. It's all of thee, all of thy power, all of thy mercy, all of thy grace. Dear Lord, oh, what thou didst suffer. Dear Lord, for the salvation of thy people. Oh, they shall look upon him and they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his firstborn, for his only son. All those families apart, husbands apart and wives apart, thou art that personal application of this. Dear Lord, oh, and for such that fountain is open for sin and uncleanness, unto the house of David, inhabitants of Jerusalem. We thank thee, Lord, for that fountain of thy precious blood, all that blood that ever avails to answer the needs of poor sinners, to wash us through it from our sin each one. And dear Lord, oh, do teach us by thy Spirit day by day, and keep us from the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. Lord, bless the young ones and the children, Lord, and do be with us each. Dear Lord, bless the families in Zion, And dear Lord, hear the prayers of the parents for the children. Maybe in some cases the prayers of the children for the parents. That's not unknown. And dear Lord, all we do pray that each one, whether a parent or a child, each one of us might know what it is indeed to have that desire for the salvation of sinners, to bring before thee, Lord, all those near and dear to us, and thy servants, Lord, those that are pastors of those churches, and thy servants too, and maybe sometimes name all the congregation of the church, one by one, pray for them. And dear Lord, have that desire for souls, even like the dear Apostle Paul had. Oh, I could wish myself cursed from Christ, or for his own nation, for his brethren after the flesh. We thank thee, Lord, he only said he could. He didn't say he did. But he expresses that all that real desire for the salvation of souls. And dear Lord, we should be so too, and especially thy servants. Our Lord, souls are precious. Oh, and it say, Lord Jesus, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord, how precious our souls are. Make us to realize it, that we have a soul that must live forever in heaven or in hell. And, O Lord God, in thy mercy, O do grant us, pause my soul and ask the question, am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Oh, tell us, Lord. Oh, make us to know it, that we might have that sweet assurance of faith in our hearts, that when the end comes, Lord, when the end is in view, we may come suddenly, we may not have any warning of it. But there's one who said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departing is at hand. I have fought a good fight, have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all who love his appearing. Bless this church and congregation, we pray. Bless the deacons, bless the members, bless the congregation. Bless thy servants who preach here, Lord, from time to time. And dear Lord, do be with each and every one, we pray, both old and young. And prosper, dear Lord, thy word in this place. Pardon, Lord, all we ask amiss. Wash our prayers in thy precious blood. Wash us each, we pray, in that precious and atoning blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Do make us meet that in hands of the saints in light, and bless that society, Lord, in all future days, all future actions, and that there might yet be, dear Lord, a reviving. And dear Lord, that thy word might, oh, be a powerful word as it goes forth, dear Lord, among the nations. Thus hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Dear Lord, make him in giving where we fail to ask, and pardon all we may have asked amiss, since we ask in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
In 1146. In 1146. Help, Lord, for men of virtue fail. Religion loses ground. The sons of violence prevail, and treacheries abound. In 1146.
looking once more to the Lord to be our helper in our meditation in his most holy word this evening in pulpit and in pew, we call your attention to the words you will find in the chapter we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, and reading verse 6, the sixth verse of the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. This, I suppose, was one of the last letters that the Apostle Paul wrote from Rome. It appears so to be. And the Lord used him in the planting of various churches. But the church of Colossae you had heard of by report. And it was indeed a good report. Of course, when he writes to Philippi, we find him saying this, "Only let your conversation, your behavior, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And to be as a Colossae was so. And it was indeed a good report. And in the midst of his afflictions and his trials, his heart was cheered and warmed by those things we heard of Epaphras. Yes, Epaphras, indeed, that faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us, he says, your love in the Spirit. Well, did he think their warfare was over? That he could leave it at that? Not the Apostle Paul. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, you might say you meet, includes himself, thou made us meet, the inheritance of thee saints in light. How we do need the prayers of the brethren, do we not, as we journey here below, or to pray one for another, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, that law of love. It is indeed a sweet epistle, and we find in this verse, which is part really of a paragraph, but I thought I would just give out the one verse, which is, come unto you. What was that? Well, it was the word of the truth of the gospel that came unto them. What a wonderful thing that is. When we consider, you know, the word coming unto us. What a blessed favour for the word of God to come unto us. Some of us as children, certainly the man in the pulpit, we had the word, we had a Bible. Yes, we were brought up to go to chapel right from probably a couple of weeks after our birth. We were carried to the house of God and taught in the Sabbath school. But sadly we had no love for the word of God. We had no love for the Lord's people either, because the word of God had not come unto us. When it comes, it makes all the difference. Oh, he says, does he not? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love which ye have to all the saints. John says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And if my experience is anything to go by, you can be sure of this, that that time came when I loved the brethren. What a turning point that is, when we, the same number among them, with them would I be, both now and to eternity. Although you feel to be all so filthy, so polluted. Like the little boy on the back stairs at Manchester, ragged and poor, on the back stairs, couldn't go into the body of the chapel, and yet, saved by grace, the word came unto him. Yes, and that word was effectual in the little lad's heart. And he had Gadsby, of course, at his bedside, we read, when he faced an early death. For the dear boy had no doubt died unto sin under the sound of the gospel, and sin no longer had dominion over him. No. Oh, he was born of the Spirit, born again, yea, under the precious preaching of the gospel, applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and was separated from this world unto the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that is, a wonderful favour, is it not, when the word comes unto us. We find that, I thought my thoughts went in consideration, in a measure, you know, of that which we read in that 68th Psalm. And there we read, you see, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. It was to be published. It was indeed to be preached. And in that same blessed psalm, you see, we read, do we not, of the Lord Jesus himself, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. How precious that. What were those gifts? gifts of the ministry. We read, of course, the fourth chapter, I believe, is it not, of Ephesians?
Yes.
Gifts of apostles and teachers and pastors and evangelists for the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
Or for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, that precious word. Yes, it is indeed. God has ordained that the gospel indeed shall be preached. And he just mentioned in prayer, you know, it is preached. It's preached day by day. And I mentioned that Psalm 19, just briefly, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We don't need translations, you know. Where we are, these things speak. They have a speaking voice, their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. How true that is. And we have that awful solemnity, do we not, in the Word of God? It reminds us, does it not, of the day in which we live, without referring too much to the content of that first chapter of Romans, but it sets that before us there, does it not? It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You may say, well, of course, the word doesn't come to certain ones. They're born, they live, they die, and they know nothing of it. We see it much in the day in which we live, do we not? And we find that the result is the evil, you see, which is so manifest on every hand in the day in which we live. But you know, they're without excuse. And each one has a conscience. The Lord has given us that little monitor. But you know, when it's abused, it ceases to speak. With some of us in our ungodliness, you know, we had a conscience seared with a hot iron. Sadly. And the word, you know, the conscience never spoke. But when the word came, that did. Well, that awakened the conscience to show us, you know, what we were by nature. Oh, to bring us under that condemnation of that holy law of God. That's what is known as being brought a call from death to life. And that conscience, you know, begins to speak again. And we find ourselves sinners. Find ourselves, you know, without excuse. Find ourselves facing boundless eternity with no hope. I've often thought of that awful condition. Yes, without God and without hope in the world. Yes, and such were some of you. But you know, the word is such that it is indeed a gospel for sinners. Oh, it's a gospel for sinners. And it speaks to sinners. And what a mercy it is that it is so. And so at Colossae, you see, we find it there set before us You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a precious thing that faith is. Oh, that precious faith in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, that's saving faith. You know, we can have faith remove mountains, and yet we have not charity, we are nothing. But that faith of God's elect, it works by love. And what a mercy it is, I say, when the word comes into our hearts, so since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which he had to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. Yes, all the Father given unto me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. You know, some only quote the second verse. They leave out the first part, the important part, the sovereignty of God, giving to the hands of the Son from all eternity, yea, to live for, and to die for, and to save with an everlasting salvation. Oh, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. I like that word, you know, in 31st of Jeremiah. And he speaks in that way, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And then we read, they shall come. Oh, they shall come. No doubt about it. Yes. He leads them, you know, with weeping and supplications. Yes. But you know, they shall come to Zion. Come to Zion. Yeah. What a wonderful thing that is. And just to turn to the particular spot in the Word of God. Oh, it speaks in that wonderful way of this coming. Oh, behold, I will bring them with from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child, and the travailing with child together. Great company shall return to them. They shall come with weeping and with supplications when I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. From a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Yes, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. In our short time tonight, of course, we can't say much really about that gospel, which can be said. But we know this, as I've suggested, is a gospel for sinners. And those sweet invitations of the gospel, they go forth. I say to those particular cases, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What are those waters? Well, it's God's word. It's God's word. I like the way, you know, when we talk of metric psalms, we got a good metrics on here, where the dear Watts, when he speaks in that on that beautiful 46th Psalm, there is a stream whose gentle flow supplies the city of our God life, love, and joy, as still gliding through and watering our divine abode. That sacred stream, thy holy word, that all our raging fear controls. Sweet peace thy promises afford, and give new strength to fainting soul. Isn't it true? Because it's true. That's the experience of a living child of God. Oh, that precious word. Oh, yes, God gave the word. And great was the company of them that published it. Why? Well, because it's a number that no man can number that shall receive it. Yes, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye buy and eat. Milk and wine without money and without price. Yes. Oh, the beauty of it. The preciousness of it. You know the end of it, don't you? We haven't got time to fill it in much. But I'll tell you by gracious experience that the end of it is set before us in the Word of God. And it speaks of a particular day in the experience of a living child of God where the Word has come. It's the Word of God's grace. That's what it is. And it's for sinners. And he came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. And sinners can say a none but they. Our precious is the gospel. We have a beautiful chapter in chapter 11. Speaks of Jesus. Speaks of missions. All this rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch that grows out of his roots.
Yeah.
All David's Lord and David's greater son. We have that set before us in the Word of God there. Oh, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, thou comfortest me. That's what the Bible, that's what the Word does. It's a word of comfort to sinners, to coming sinners, where God sends it forth. Yes, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Cry unto Jerusalem. She's not ready to believe it. You have to cry time and time again into the very, very hearts of poor sinners. Oh, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. All this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. There's no myths and buts about it, not the gospel I preach, and what the Lord's servants preach, or preach the truth. Yes, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The Word of God is a new book. The ordinances of God's house are something very precious. The preaching of the Word, the preaching of the Gospel, all the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, all blessed, blessed times. I say, have you stood in the chapel when the Lord's dear people, we've seen his offspring come and they've been brought to join the church, ashamed of Jesus, and we're that dear friend, on whom our hope for heaven's depend? I say, haven't we sung that, and our hearts be full of joy? Have not our hearts be softened, and the tears begin to flow? Have we felt the sweet comforts of the gospel, and see the work of God?
Yeah.
His salvation is sure. And, but, you know, I must come quickly, I can really, to the point. Yes, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world. Yes, it goes through the, around the world for his people of every nation, kindred and tongue. And I've often thought, oh, you go back, you know, on a Lord's Day morning, most Lord's Day morning, before we go to chapel, we always read and pray just before we go to the house of God. I've been praying long since then, but before we go out of the house, we read, and very, very often, you know, we read that beautiful unto the psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing.
Yeah.
And I feel such a beauty in it, that this psalm was written so long ago. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Yes.
Not Jew only, no Gentiles too. Yeah, it's going throughout all the world. And while we are reading this psalm, I often think, well, around the world there's others. On the Lord's Day, they have that same thing in their heart, and they can say, knoweth the Lord, he is God. 'Tis he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What a beautiful thing that is. When we can do that, enter his courts with praise, be thankful unto him. We should be. We're not thankful enough. But sometimes we're reminded and we're brought there and we feel that thankfulness. Oh, why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather die than come. I forget, I'm not probably quite right. It was the same hand that spread thee. Peace that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perish in our sin.
Yeah.
How precious then is that. Oh, enter his gates, thank you, enter his court with praise, thank unto him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, his truth. Oh, how important that is, its truth, it endureth. You know, to all generations, and it will. You know, till that last set stone is called, brought forth with cryings of grace, grace unto it. I often thought in thinking of Zechariah, you know, the absolute impossibility. I've often said, you see the drunk lying in the gutter. You can't say that person isn't a child of God. You don't know. You don't know what the Lord will do. You don't know where the Lord's people have been. I say, oh, the greatest sinners. Yes. You don't know what the Lord will do. I say, yes, it's his work, you know, to call these sinners out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. Ah, but the beauty of this, I've not got fully to it yet, but the beauty of this, and this is what came in my heart, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you. Of course it will. If it's a heart prepared, you know the Lord, well, the farmer, he doesn't cast his seed on unploughed ground amongst the weeds and the stubble. He ploughs it, does he not? Yes. The discreet ploughman. That's a beautiful subject. Yes. Does the ploughman plough? Of course he does. Yes, he makes it plain the face of the field, and then he casts in the seed. It's the good ground, you see, in the sweet parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to his disciples, if you know not this parable, how can you know all parables? Here is the key to all of them. Yes, oh, it's a prepared heart. That's God's work. From first to last, or to prepare the heart, I say, to convince of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come, of sin because they believe not on me, says Jesus. Ah, but they shall come, they shall believe, they shall sing in the heights of Zion, every one, you see, not by power but by might. What, thou, O great mountain, that mountain of impossibility. Yes, when we look on an out-of-the-way sinner. There was one man, you know, and I won't name him, but some might understand from what I say, and he used to go to the race course every day. Well, over the road, his stepmother, She used to watch him. And the Lord told her that that man would preach the gospel one day. And she told me one day about it. And she said how she saw the Lord stop him in his mad career. She sat in the church and heard him give his testimony before the church when he joined the church. She sat in the church meeting also when he was sent out to preach the gospel. I sat entranced to listen, you know, to that account, that wonderful account of the way the Lord, how he showed her. Oh, when she was a godly woman, a dear godly woman, and she saw it and she watched it, and she rejoiced in it. Oh, the blessing of it. And I rejoiced when she told me of it. But you see, it says this, which has come unto you, that's God's God, that's the truth of the word of the truth of the gospel, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God. In truth, always to know the grace of God. You know, grace humbleth. Knowledge puffeth up, the word of God says. But grace humbles. Oh, to be saved by grace. Oh, the unmerited favour of God. Oh, that one who claimed himself to be the very chief of sinners. Oh, that he a man. He could say, this is a faithful saying. And is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. He could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by that grace he laboured in the gospel. Oh, after that call by grace, how quickly he was baptised, how quickly he preached in the synagogues that Jesus was Christ. Now he laboured. Yes, it was a labour of love, you see. And how precious then this is. Yes, anew, the grace of God in truth. That's a wonderful thing, to know the grace of God yourself. And to trace it. To look over your life. And to see the way the Lord works. Yes. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I may have told you this before, it didn't matter, but years ago, you know, I reported to me that one of my members had said to somebody that I was never ever sent to preach. And that sunk me low. And one Wednesday afternoon, you know, I got the service at night, and at that time I was working hard, converting our old chapel into a holiday place. It was in my early days. And I went in the bathroom and fell on my knees and I said, Lord, show me. Show me that I'm thine, that I was sent forth to preach. And you know, that afternoon the Holy Spirit came and took me through it all. And I wept and I wept and I wept. Now physically I was very, very struggling at that time. But you know, it took all my strength. And I went to the house of God at night to preach that night. And I walked into the chapel and I felt so bodily weak. And I had a text, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And my old deacon, Mr. Hazel, he got the hymns up on the board. And I looked, I walked into that chapel. And you know, that first hymn on the board that particular night was My Soul With Joy Attend. While Jesus' song speaks, no angel's harp such music yields as what my shepherd speaks. I know my sheep, he cries. My soul approves them well. Vain is the treacherous world's disguise, and vain the rage of hell. Yeah. And how beautiful that was to me. And I went in the vestry and I wept and wept, and the poor deacon came in, and there was the pastor, dissolved in tears. And he was filled with distress himself, wondering what was wrong. And I said, "Miss Rachel, you never give a better amount in your life." And I preached that night. Yes, the grace of God. It is the grace of God. And the Lord shows. And it says here, not to hear of grace, but to know it. Oh, they knew it. They knew it was all of grace. Salvation was all of grace. Oh, they felt unworthy of the least of all his mercies. Humble in the dust of self-abasement. And how beautiful then is this. What a beautiful word. Of course, in the sending forth of the word of God around the world, we have to send it forth prayerfully. Oh, that the Lord in his mercy might use it, that he might apply it. I remember when I used to be an official speaker for the TBS, the word of God going out to do India, and it was given to a certain son of a postmaster in India. Well, he took it and he threw it on the shelf at home, and there it stayed. And he never looked at it. But you know, his father picked it off the shelf one day and began to read it. And the Lord came and applied the word with almighty power, you know. And this dear man, he was brought straight out of the world. Yes, all that word of God hadn't gone in vain. He'd been put in the hand of the Son. But it was intended for the Father. Yeah, it was him who had it, you see. Oh, which is come unto you. What a mercy, I say, if the word has come unto you. Oh, you may sometimes, you sit in the pew and you say, "Well, I've had people say, South Jar, the wandering woman, so I never get anything under the ministry. Never get anything." We have to pray for such. Oh, the Lord in his mercy might indeed send forth that word with almighty power into the hearts of sinners. Oh, we do need much prayer, you know, to go with the preaching. It's not just mere words. Now the apostle, I must come towards a close, but you know, the apostle himself, how beautifully he writes, does he not, even to the church at Corinth, in that most beautiful second chapter of his first epistle. And he says this, "And brethren, I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declared unto you the testimony of God, for I determined to know not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Yes. Oh, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hope to stay. The Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way. And this is the way this preacher went, the dear apostle. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many received him. They didn't just receive a knowledge of him, they received him. He dwelt in their hearts by faith, you see. The apostle could say, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." That's the secret. He liveth in me. In the life I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that was the very, very essence. That's what he knew in his own heart. And that's why he loved those at Colossae. Because they were taught by the same Spirit. They had drunk into the same Spirit. They were baptized into the same Spirit. And all salvation indeed is of the Lord. and of the Lord alone, is it not? Oh, the grace of God, what a mercy, I say. It's a mercy, this wretch is stood in the pulpit tonight trying to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
I've often said if they'd have known me in the days of my manger innocence, they'd never have me in the pulpit. Never thought of it. And I'm not boasted of it, I'm ashamed of it.
Yes.
But you know, that without the gospel, that's what we're like. We're dead. And church and sins, but, oh, it's a living word. The word of God. It gives life. It comes with almighty power. It's clothed with power. Yes, so he came unto his own received. Not as many as received him, to them gave he power. Become the sons of God, which were born, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood, but of God. Yes. Oh, born I am. 1950, that's the hymn. Not very often I've ever given that one out. It's a very, very short hymn. Yeah, dear medley. Yes, born I am, and born of God. Born of God. Yes. Oh, it was the Lord. You have to say, it was the Lord. Yes. It was he who found me. Yeah, he who sought me. In the summer, in June, I'll just say this, you know, we went over to Ireland on our annual holiday. And in the place where we went, in the Irish Pre-Presbyterian Church there, you know, we sung a hymn I'd never heard it before, and it really broke me down. It has a line, I can't quote it really, once I was a stranger, I think it starts like that, and knew not Jehovah Tsikenu, the Lord our righteousness. And it's a beautiful hymn. I did find it in a hymn book, but you know, as we sang it, you know, it made my day. A day off, a rare day off from preaching on that Sabbath. I normally preach on the holidays, Lord's Day, not that there's any merit in that. But, you know, to feel this. Oh, to look at that day when we were a stranger. But at the end of the year, we know, oh, Jehovah, he means all things. Oh, he means all things. He's my all in and all, he's my saviour. Yes, I depend upon him. Day by day, yes. A Jesus overager. That's what we want. Oh, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You say, yes, that's where I want to be. That's where I long to be. I was speaking, you know, this afternoon, this morning, I went into the Bethesda home, being near, taking the opportunity, and I went into the room of an old friend, Miss Marjorie Patterson. She's the remaining child alive of the late Harry Patterson, the pastor of South Norwood. You know, and she's stone deaf, and she couldn't hear what I said. She knew I was, and I walked in, and oh, she said, I'm coming to the end. She said, oh, what must it be, Mr. Woodhouse, to be there? What must it be to be there? Yeah. And I said, well, the name of the city of that day shall be called the Lord is there. But of course she couldn't hear me, and I've got a pen in my pocket, no paper to write it for the dear woman. But oh, she was there, and I thought, yes. Yes, her faith. Israel. She's found there in her latter days, in her old days, very old. Oh, and there she's longing. Oh, to be with Christ, which is far better. A religion is real. You know, we want our religion to be real. In the heart. Yeah, real religion. I often think of this, you know, our religion, if you're the Lord's people, it's not some veneer. I've mentioned this, but before now, you know, you get this modern furniture and you put a saw through it. and he's full of sawdust and resin. I've got, at my home, I've got some timber, and it came off a swing boat from the 1800s, and it's pine. And I've used quite a bit of it in doing various jobs at the chapel and various places. And you know, when I put a saw into that, now you put a saw into that wood and the aroma of it, oh, the sweet aroma of it, it's really wonderful. The smell of it as you saw it. If anybody's a carpenter here, maybe they know what I mean, I don't know, but it goes back to the 1800s. It's well over 100 years old. We want a religion like that. Yes, the smell of it. Oh, the aroma, oh, the odour of it. Yeah. Smell a little bit like the rose of Sharon and the lilies of the valley. Why? Because Jesus dwells in the heart. Yes. He dwells in their heart, my faith. Yes. Oh, he's about there. In the heart of a child of God. That's where we want the Lord. Or the gospel. You know, we love it sometimes. I don't care for it. Sometimes we get so low, so far off, so dark. But mercifully, you know, the Lord revives us. We don't like it when our feelings are not there. We like a feeling religion. I like to feel it, to know it, and to feel it in my own heart. Though the dear Apostle Paul did. But I must finish, I've gone over. So beautifully set before us. And the words that really came to me, that brought me to this text, were those last words, and knew the grace of God in truth. And knew the grace of God in truth. Wonderful thing, you know, to have that truth in our hearts, to carry it in our hearts, day by day, the truth of the gospel. Yes, that's where Christ dwelling, in our hearts, by faith.
Collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach next Lord's Day, and on Monday there'll be a special prayer meeting for the afflicted among us, and Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 333. Oh my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
care and keeping. Pardon what thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Bless to us thy word. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit rest upon us and abide with us each, and with the whole Israel of God, both now and evermore. Amen.